Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I'm going to show you a video that's produced by a church called New Creation Church in Singapore. And just to illustrate why we are here, I mean, not just in the building, but why we have life, why we're alive. If Jesus did something for us we could not do for ourselves. He paid the price we could not pay. The Bible has a word called propitiation. What it means is it's a substitutionary death or sentence. That is, Jesus took the punishment and the death we deserved. He took it. And so the suffering on the cross was intense because he died not just for a few people or only people in his day. He died for every person past to him, before him, present, and into the future up until today. A natural man would have died of the punishment in a few minutes. He stayed alive almost all day, suffering because it took that long to pay the price to be the substitutionary sacrifice. As John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world." Jesus did not forgive your sins. He forgave your sin. Sins is stuff we do. Sin is the nature in people. Jesus dealt with sin. That's the source of everything, not just sins. So this video is graphic, not overly graphic, but watch the video and get the message as we appreciate why we're here today. Amen.
Forsaken me. Finished! Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit.
Jesus is risen. Say, Jesus is risen. And you can walk. Say, I can walk in newness of life. Amen. Newness of life. Now, because Jesus has risen, because he is risen, we have power we would never have without his ability, without his grace, without his works in our behalf. And today I want to, as I go into the scripture today, I want to begin with this particular statement, with this first statement on the slide here. What did the Apostle Paul preach? When you look at the scripture and Paul's writings, what did the Apostle Paul teach? He taught something called identification with Christ. Say identification with Christ. And that is, we'll delve into this more. But to identify with something or somebody is really the essence of who we are. What's wrong in the world is people have wrong identification. People see themselves in the wrong thing, sometimes the wrong people. People see themselves, as a result, in the wrong fashion. So the master key to unlocking our identity in Christ and kingdom living is to identify with Christ. Now, as I read the scripture today from Romans 6, when you read and hear the scripture and read it, I want you to see yourself in the text. See yourself in the scripture. See the blessings, the benefits, the real you. Say the real me in this text. Romans 6, verse 1. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his grace? Now, by the way, the previous chapter talked about how that when sin abounds, grace abounds. So some say, oh, great. Well, hey, man, shoot. If I can get more grace, let me sin more. Paul said, no, don't get it twisted, we would say in our vernacular. So then, should we keep on sinning so God can show more grace? No, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ, Jesus in baptism, we were joined in his death? Verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into the... Now listen, water baptism is a representation of the spiritual baptism. So when it says we're buried by baptism, this is not water, but when a person receives Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ. Baptize means immerse or bring into. Baptize is not water first. Water is second. We're first baptized by the Spirit into Christ. And then when you have received Christ and you acknowledge him, then the preacher will baptize you in water to symbolize what already happened. Amen? So he says we're buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So when you're baptized spiritually by the Spirit of God, and then Jesus will baptize you into the Holy Spirit. So first thing is, Bible says it's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. What is the one baptism? In Jesus' name? No. It's not what people do. It's what God does. The one baptism is you're baptized by the Spirit into Jesus. That makes you part of him. And then someone can baptize your body into water. And then the Holy Spirit, Jesus, will baptize you into the Holy Spirit. That's where the gifts and power come from. So there's three baptisms, but the one baptism that makes all the difference, the first one you have to have, the main one is by being baptized by the Holy Spirit into whom? Jesus. Because you know how this works. Folk have been baptized in water many times. They go down a dry devil, and they come up a wet devil. Because water doesn't save you. All right, let me finish this up here. So then he says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So then when Jesus raised from the dead, leaving all the sin behind, it says to us that because God has saved you and saved me, when we rise up, we stand up, begin to continue our lives and live our lives, we can live our lives in newness. Say newness. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. Now that's water baptism. In the likeness of his death, buried. That's why I don't disrespect nobody, but baptism scripturally and by example is by immersion in water. You know, you can sprinkle water on somebody. Take a whole bunch of sprinkling to get somebody going to some water. Amen. Sprinkling is not the Bible way. I won't disrespect people because sprinkling is easy now. Come on, just walk by here and boom, you know what I'm saying? And just drop some water on your head. But it takes more of a sacrifice for you to change your clothes, put a robe on, step in the water, and God forbid the water ain't warm. Because back in the old days, you know what I'm talking about, you have to say, it may chill my body, it won't chill my soul. Make up some statement. But you go down in the water and trust them to bring you back up. You're out of control, amen? We'll bring you down and we'll bring you up. So we've been planted in the likeness of his death. We'll also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Again, identify with these things. See yourself here. That's why God gave us experiences to help us identify. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Old man was crucified with him. Identify with that. Now listen, here's our dilemma. The old you and the new you are still present, looking right at you, looking right at me. Yes, I am saved, I'm born again, but I remember some things. My memory is still there. It's going to sound strange. Just let me say it. I could still roll a joint. I said it. That was my life 40 years ago. Amen. When I got saved, I stopped drinking, stopped doing dope, all that. But the old man is still there. But the thing is, though, he has been done away with. He's dead now. Old Brian is dead. It'd be crazy to go back and bring up something that God said is dead. It always talked about that. So the body of sin is done away with. So once we reckon that the old man, the old person, the old you is dead, let me now focus on the new. Say newness of life. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. People don't get out of sin by stopping, stop trying. I'm going to try harder. You can't stop. You don't have the power to stop yourself. Amen. Only Jesus can change us. So once we have been transformed, once we have been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, you're in a new place now. And then baptized in the water symbolizes that. And then you go on and let Jesus baptize you into the Holy Spirit. And now you're surrounded with the power of God. And once you then you get into the Word, renew your mind, get teaching, get preaching, you begin to, your whole mindset changes. We celebrate Jesus' resurrection not only because it was a life-changing event in history. We celebrate because Jesus' resurrection is an empowering grace for today. So here we are 2,000 years plus past the event of the actual day Christ was crucified and buried and rose again. And that is an historical event. And by the way, not just Bible, but even other historical sources document that Jesus lived and died, all he did, you know, a lot of his works are in regular history texts. Not textbooks, but there's record of what Jesus did. He lived and he died and rose again. It's not a mystery there. But we celebrate because Jesus' resurrection is an empowering grace for today. That's why I want to focus so strongly here that to me, the things of God, the Bible, Scripture, teaching, all this is not just for spiritual only. It, of course, is foundational, but I need Jesus to handle my finance and my family and love my wife and serve the community. I mean, I need Christ every area of life. And so I don't look at just these things in historical context. Situation occurred in Tennessee you're aware of. Behind some shootings, there were some protests by some lawmakers who did a protest. And it was, you know, protests are not comfortable. People forget that the country was founded on protest. The whole country. Rebellion and protest against the policies of the King of England. Folk in Boston, a whole shipment of expensive tea came in. They threw it overboard. Boston Tea Party, they called it, protesting the wrong taxes. So it's proper to nonviolent protest is part and parcel of how we operate. So three people were chastised, two black men, one white woman, all Democrats. They were all chastised. And a vote was taken, and the two black men were put out of the legislature, and the one white person was not. But I wanted to show you, though, if I can't today, don't worry about it, but I want to show you that one of the legislators lectured this young man named Justin Pearson.
With an adolescent bullhorn, it doesn't give you the right to enrage folks that are here to watch this body conduct business and talk about things you know good and well that we've worked hard. We've worked very hard to protect our children here in the state of Tennessee. Very hard. You know what? And what you could do, you could maybe could file a piece of legislation that maybe you'd do that instead of sitting back and criticizing folks that's worked really hard for the past decade to do so. That might be a place to start. But certainly don't start by commandeering the well while we're conducting business here in this Tennessee General Assembly. That's why you're standing there, because of that temper tantrum that day, for that yearning to have attention. That's what you wanted. Well, you're getting it now. So I just advise you, if you want to conduct business in this house, file a bill. Be recognized, stand there and present it, and pass it. All you got to do is pass a bill.
Representative Pearson.
Now, you all heard that. How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? We're not talking about politics. We're not talking about even gun violence. How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? The reason that I believe the sponsor of this legislation, of this resolution, spoke that way is because he's comfortable doing it. Because there's a decorum that allows it. There's a decorum that allows you to belittle people. We didn't belittle nobody. What we said was that we cannot be beholden to gun lobbyists, to the NRA. We can't be beholden to organizations that don't want to see us make progress on gun violence. We can't be beholden to folks who don't want to see us help save our communities and protect them. But there's something else I think that the sponsor of this resolution has alluded to, and there were a few things here that you said that I want to address. He called a peaceful protest a temper tantrum.
And the point is, they knew who they were. I am a man. I'm a legislator. I'm a lawmaker just like you. You cannot talk to me any kind of old way. I know who I am. I'm not your boy. He didn't say that, but you know, are we? We always don't say, we think everything and say the right thing. You know what I'm saying? But he really handled it so well. Justin Pearson is his name. Justin Johnson's the other one. I was so proud of these young men, standing up at a time when it's time to stand up. Because you when you know who you are in Christ, that's my point, when you know who you are in Christ, you are not going to let people treat you any kind of way. Not for your sake, but for the sake of the children, the sake of everybody. Because you identify with Christ. He died. He suffered. So I don't have to in that way. Amen? All right, we go on. So Jesus' resurrection isn't only history. I see it as it's empowering grace for today. That's why we say that Jesus is risen, not has risen. See, has risen means it all happened in the past. Is risen means I'm living in it. I'm benefiting from it. Right now. You won't talk to me like that in Jesus' name. Amen. You won't mistreat me like that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll stand up for the innocent children in Jesus' name. We'll demand change at every level, community, government, whatever, in Jesus' name, because I know who I am. So, resurrection in Christ. Resurrection of Jesus Christ is about new life from sin and death. Say new life. It's about renewal. Say renewal. It's about newness. Say newness. It's about new light in the midst of darkness. Say new light. In the all right, this is our day for things. Amen. All righty. It's old to new. Say from old to new. All right. So Jesus' death and resurrection not only defeated sin and death, but Jesus' death and resurrection defeated old things so new things can come. Think about this now. A lot of problems we have in our lives, even as Christ followers today, come from old things, old mindsets, old habits, old friends, old stuff. I mean, not old like calendar years, but just things that you used to like, used to be involved with, engaged with. But Jesus' death and resurrection promises us newness of life. So then he defeated old things. Now, of course, spiritually, sin was defeated. Satan was defeated. All the old things were defeated so that the way can come for new things. You know, in my consulting work with churches, I go in and help them with their media. And sometimes my message is, all that old stuff needs to go out of here. Get it out of here. I say it, you know, very diplomatically, but I'm saying, I can't fix that. That wasn't meant to be fixed. That was meant to be taken out. Because in technology, things change quickly, more quickly than, you know, chairs can last a long time. Amen, somebody, and all that. But tech, cameras and things, and so I go in and say, hey, you know, the old has to go. One guy said, well, if you can't help fix this, you can't help us. Well, I can't help you then. I don't come to fix old stuff. You don't call me to fix old. You don't call Brian Hudson if you want your old tech fixed. You call me to get a solution. And in the 21st century, you need 21st century stuff, you know. Anyway, I don't fuss with people. I just move on. Because I know what works, what doesn't work. Because folk who try to fix old stuff end up having problems. A friend of mine called, said, I move on. I ain't got time for that. But so then Jesus defeated the old so the new things can come. Now, I tell you, we are very comfortable with our old stuff. We're comfortable. Well, yeah, I'm comfortable here. I get that. I understand that. But be willing to risk your comfort for a breakthrough. You want a breakthrough or not? What do you want? If you want a breakthrough, sometimes it says these old things, clear them out so the new can come. Jesus took away the old religion, even though the Christian faith is built on Judaism, built on the law. But yet, those were foundational. And the New Testament, New Covenant, has superseded the old. The foundation is still there. But now we're building with something new. So again, Jesus came, we could walk in newness of life. So then God gives us golden opportunities and new ways of living through something called a walk. Say a walk. The word for walk in the Greek is peripateo. It means to make one's way, to progress, to make due use of opportunities. The Hebrew equivalent is to live, to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself. That's what the word walk means, to walk. We know walking is physical action, but scripturally, walking is not just, you know, taking one step after the other. It is about regulation. Now, let me say this. Next slide. Me, bless my son here for a minute. Yesterday, Jonathan ran a marathon, y'all. 26.2 miles. Give God some praise. Amen. Now, if John's moving a little slow today, cut him some slack. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Because my point is, you don't just up and run 26 miles. You don't just sign up for the Carmel Marathon and then show up and run. You spend weeks and months in something called what? training. Or you could say it's a walk, right? It's a walk. The walk, I'm saying walk in the sense of to make one's way. Walk to make use of opportunity, to regulate one's life. You got to regulate your life to run a marathon. Even a half marathon, even a 3K, 1K, whatever it is, requires levels of walking. So Jonathan, I'm proud of your son, did a great job. He had a training partner with him. Wife and I were there, and Hannah and Ivy came at the finish line. We were there, and Christine rode her bicycle all the way to Carmel. These kids do stuff, boy, I tell you. So then I bring this up to illustrate that whatever in life you're doing, if you do it well, it's because it is a walk. You walk in it. You don't just show up and do it. You've been preparing. And so resurrection power gives you the ability to walk. Say, thank you, Lord. You give me grace to walk, to regulate my life, to conduct myself in a way where you can use me. Proverbs 4:26 says, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. We want to come. We want things to come all at once sometime. But most things come from your walk. See, most things come from how I walk. You can wish for it. You can hope for it. You can have somebody call you, text you, promise to give it to you, but it's going to come by walking that way. Amen. So then, Jesus' resurrection, as the ministers have already taught us, resurrection of Jesus empowers us to have a resurrected walk. Again, the text said that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we, say even so we, even so me. That's the identification. Even so me. We can walk and we should walk in the newness of life. Now, newness is defined as being in a state, in a new state of life in which the Holy Spirit places us. Yeah, new state, a whole new type of existence. It stands for the new life of the quickened spirit of the believer. That is, God has put life in us. Quickening means life-giving. From the experience of the Holy Spirit, by whose power the service is rendered. So you change your state. You know, we have states of mind, don't we, sometimes? Sometimes we get a little, you know, we're a little happy, a little sad. We're a little moody, a little whatever, you know what I'm saying? And we have to, you know, now as adults, part of what makes us adults is we can master the state, our state. You know, I really love good customer service because it takes a whole lot of somebody to deal with people who are irate, irrational. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes people, you come in, my wife told her last week, a couple weeks ago, they went to the bank, her mom, 93-year-old mom, and what's Carl there too, Carl? He just walked in to do a bank transaction, a simple transaction. And the banker came out like, I can't do that. I can't do that now. I got too much to do. You came too late. He's like, really? What's your state today? You know what I'm saying? But they just, you know, they just walked away and took money out the bank. Amen. They don't know how much money she had. Mom Blunt got money. She got cash. They don't know what she had. She, lady got money. You know, she got bank. So pulling money out, went someplace else. All right. Because people in their state. So then, but in Christ, newness is a new state. Say newness is a new state. Say this. If I don't like the way I am, I'm going to change the way I am. You can do it in Christ, in the Spirit, in resurrection power. You can change the state. Jesus changed his state, went from being dead to alive. He was dead, now he's alive. There's a man he healed who was blind. The man was blind his whole life. Jesus healed him He said, who did this? How did he do it? I don't know. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. My state changed. Jesus changed my state because I believed him. Believe this, saints, Jesus can change our state, and our state sometime need changing. All right, finish up here. The process of newness of life. Number one, identification. Say this, who I am in Christ. That's what it means to identify who I am. Number two, a beginning. Say how I began. Say that. I don't mean how you began only in natural life. I mean how you began in Christ, your new life, how it began. Number three, an affirmation. Say an affirmation. Where I stand. And number four, a recognition. Say that. I am who God said I am. Say that. I am who God said I am. Our victory reality, we're going to end where we started. So we're buried with him by baptism into death. Baptism being first by the Spirit, then water, then into the Spirit. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. Amen. Say, Lord, thank you. I am walking in newness of life. Do you believe this today? Give God some praise. Well, bless the Lord. Praise him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Let's go thank God today that he has given us this newness and we identify with it. And it's amazing what you can do in Christ when you believe. You could try and try and try and work and work and work and always fall short. But when you say, Jesus, I trust you. And that if I am in you, I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And so that's the message today. So, Father, thank you. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I thank you, Father God. We've heard the word. We've heard this before, many of us. But maybe today something took hold. Maybe today, Lord God, it became real to us. Your Spirit helped us to see it clearly, more clearly, that we are blessed.